The last one is what would formerly have been the Energy Working Group. And here, Melissa Winnie will be giving a presentation that speaks to the new information we have and the way we've consolidated the previous group's work into this new strategy. So Melissa, let me turn it over to you and let you go ahead.
Thank you, David. Good morning. I'm Melissa Winnie, Energy Policy Analyst with the Governor's Energy Office. As was mentioned, the next strategy is to drive innovation to reduce carbon emissions in Maine's energy and industrial sectors. This includes the action areas of ensuring adequate, affordable, and clean energy supply, reduce emissions in Maine's industrial sector, encourage combined heat and power facilities that are highly efficient, investigate and potentially develop and implement financing options necessary to meet our goals, and initiate a stakeholder process to make recommendations to modernize Maine's electric grid, energy systems, and associated planning and policies. Next slide. As a reminder, Synapse modeled two electric scenarios, a sustained policy scenario and decarbonization. For both of these, vehicle miles traveled, weatherization, and energy efficiency remained constant. The sustained policy scenario includes an 80% RPS by 2030, as is currently in statute, but lower transportation and heating electrification, and therefore lower electrical load. The decarbonization scenario includes achievement of 100% RPS by 2050, and high transportation and heating electrification, resulting in a greater electric load. Figure 2 on the right shows charts that illustrate emissions associated with the sustained policy scenario in the left chart and emissions associated with the decarbonization scenario on the right. As you can see, the decarbonization scenario on the right results in lower overall energy emissions, closer to the state's 2050 emission reduction target. While this strategy overall includes industrial sector action areas, this modeling does not include additional industrial emissions reductions. Next slide. The first action area is to ensure that Maine's electric grid is clean, affordable, and able to meet future energy needs as Maine pursues beneficial electrification. Benefits of this action area include reduction in carbon dioxide emissions, along with associated market and social benefits of reduced emissions, including major health benefits. Additionally, this action area is poised to create significant jobs and economic benefits. Costs were analyzed using the levelized cost of energy, which is used to consistently compare electricity generation methods and to estimate the cost per unit of electricity generated over the entire lifespan of the generating plants, and that includes both capital and operating costs. While the analysis found varying ranges of cost estimates, overall they found that renewable energy sources can provide energy at a cost comparable to non-renewable sources. And as renewable energy technology advances, the cost of renewable energy is expected to continue decreasing. The Energy Working Group noted that any processes, procurements, and policies pursued in association with this action area should include cost inequity considerations. And energy-related programs that support low to moderate income households should continue to provide services and be expanded as needed. This action area received high support from energy survey respondents. Next slide. Analysis shows that the decarbonization pathway reduces Maine's emissions, as we saw. And this table shows the monetized benefits of this reduction for consumption-based emissions, which consider New England emissions associated with Maine's electricity sales, and production-based emissions, which include emissions from generation located in Maine only. This analysis uses the market value of carbon and the minimum and maximum estimates of the social value of carbon. The market value is the projected carbon price for the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, or REGGI, and the social cost is a broader depiction of the cost of carbon to society, including considerations of emission reduction benefits such as increased agricultural productivity, improved human health, and prevented damages from increased flooding, as some examples. Based on the market value of carbon, the decarbonization scenario results in average monetized emission reduction benefits of around $100 million between 2020 and 2050. When considering the social cost of carbon, analysis found the decarbonization scenario provides an average monetized emission reduction benefit ranging from around $900 million to $2.7 billion. Next slide. The next action area is to encourage highly efficient combined heat and power facilities, or CHP. Maine has 42 CHP facilities with a combined capacity of over 668 megawatts. And CHP facilities recycle the heat byproduct from power generation and use it for heating, cooling, and industrial processes in nearby facilities, thus reducing emissions and redundancy. Benefits include increased efficiency, cost savings resulting in facilities that are economically beneficial in the long term, and reduced emissions. One study found that CHP facilities can reduce emissions of carbon dioxide by over 21%. In terms of specific cost-benefit analysis for Maine, quantitative modeling of replacing current infrastructure with CHP was outside the scope of the current analysis, but ERG recommends a benefit cost and cost-effectiveness analysis for a selection of the facilities located in Maine, and that may help with future decision-making and a better understanding of the costs and benefits resulting from CHP. Equity considerations include that improved efficiency and thus associated benefits to the electric grid, such as reduced peak demand or capacity needs, could result in benefits for all Maine ratepayers. Procurements for such projects must be competitive in order to elicit the least cost prices for greatest ratepayer benefits. Based on public comment, continued efforts should be made to provide education on CHP and the potential costs and benefits of such projects. Overall, less than half of the energy survey respondents thought this strategy was a good fit for their particular communities. Next slide. This action item to accelerate the decarbonization of industrial use and processes included two steps. One is expanding funding for industrial energy efficiency program offerings through Efficiency Maine Trust, and to study, propose, and support long-range plans for industrial decarbonization. Analysis included literature review that found an estimated 20 to 50% of all energy input to industrial facilities is rejected as heat. Basic heat recovery is one example could improve this greatly in Maine, resulting in greater energy efficiency and lower emissions. Benefits of improved industrial processes include reduction in emissions and potential cost savings. Additional benefits can be experienced in fuel switching to Maine-based production sources that may result in stabilized energy costs and creation of Maine jobs. Additional modeling would be needed to cover different fuel types over various timeframes that could help Maine estimate several specific benefits and costs for various fuel and system switching scenarios. In terms of equity considerations, this action area may provide opportunities for job creation and economic growth, particularly in rural areas of the state, would help to disperse benefits to all communities in Maine. Equity should also be considered in ensuring large industrial users have access to efficiency funds, particularly if they are contributing money to that fund. Maine public responses to this recommendation were generally neutral, and comments indicated that in areas where there were not high numbers of industrial facilities, there was less acknowledgement of the strategy being a good fit for an individual's particular community. Next slide. The next action area is to investigate, develop, and implement new financing options necessary to meet Maine's clean energy and climate-related targets. Achieving Maine's clean energy and climate goals will require additional capital to finance clean energy projects and to fund energy-related programs. And the more affordable these investments are, the more cost-effective and robust Maine's transition to a clean energy economy will be. This action area will likely be met through a variety of existing and new funding sources and mechanisms, both private and public. Funding helps provide the means for strategies and development to take place, potentially at lower costs, and result in associated benefits for the state. ERG did not provide specific cost-benefit analysis for this recommendation. The Energy Working Group recognized some equity considerations around financing. One example is inclusion of programs to provide grants, low or zero interest loans, or credit enhancements for low to moderate income households or public housing. And examples of these types of programs can be found in other states. Next slide. The final action area is to initiate a stakeholder process managed by the Governor's Energy Office in coordination with the Maine Public Utilities Commission. This process would examine and provide recommendations regarding transformation and planning of Maine's electric sector to address and facilitate the recommendations of the Climate Council, including beneficial electrification, which may require expansion and investment in the electric grid. While this process does not in and of itself result in carbon emission reductions or related benefits, the process is essential to ensure that beneficial electrification and other clean energy and climate goals are accomplished in the most efficient and effective way. Equity considerations were included by the Energy Working Group, both within the topic area of equitable and efficient cost allocation that would be examined through this process, as well as ensuring the process itself is transparent and allows for easily accessible public engagement. Next slide. Finally, as was mentioned earlier, in an effort to ensure the greatest economic and workforce benefits for the state, the Governor's Energy Office and Governor's Office of Policy Innovation in the Future are developing a plan to strengthen Maine's clean energy economy. Recent clean energy policies and programs have set the foundation for significant growth in the clean energy sector, which can play a key role in Maine's economic recovery efforts. Job growth and economic development opportunities within the clean energy economy can be realized with further targeted efforts and support. Through these concerted efforts to develop Maine's clean energy economy, the state can move forward with the creation of local jobs, strong economic recovery and sustained development, climate change mitigation, and improved public health. The Clean Energy Economy Executive Summary is again included in your materials, and the report will be finalized in early October 2020. And with that, I say thank you and pass it back to David.
Thank you, Melissa. Fantastic. Okay.